to People Like Us, a podcast for and about third culture kids everywhere. I'm Jen Mohindra. I'm also a TCK, and I have a Facebook group for TCK adults called, unsurprisingly, People Like Us. So hello, and welcome to today's episode of People Like Us. Today, I'm delighted to be joined, she's dialing in from Kampala, Uganda, Galindo Aleo. Hello, Galindo. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Jen. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. As always, straight into the first question, would you like to tell me about where you grew up?
So, I grew up in Swaziland, now known as Eswatini. I lived there for 15 years before coming back to Uganda. So by nationality, I'm Ugandan, and so are my parents. And to expand more, I guess, on the third culture aspect, the community I grew up in as well had several different cultures of people in the neighborhood, as well as the school that I went to. So a lot of cultures, a lot of mixing throughout my formative years before coming back to Uganda. So I've been here for most of my adulthood.
When you say coming back to Uganda, so were you born in what was then Swaziland, or was that returning to Uganda as in your parents were from there?
So I was born in Uganda, and the family moved to Swaziland when I was almost three. So, yeah.
And going back to your passport country then, that tricky age, anywhere between around 13 to 15, the notoriously difficult age for TCKs to move. How was that for you?
It was, I think it was a blend of emotions, because I was one, I thought my dad was joking when he said we were moving. So, because he said it for a couple of years, he said, you know what, we're going to go back, we're going to do this. And, you know, for a long time, we thought he's joking. And then we started realizing he's not joking. And then it went to, okay, I started telling my friends and they thought I was joking. And then we started trying to devise all these ways to try to get us to stay. And I guess that's the rebellious age like everybody has experienced, where you feel, okay, let the family go. I'll stay here with my friends, you know? Yeah. And these are just conversations you'd have with your friends, and then you'd come home and you still have to discuss moving back. I still joke with my sister up to now that we actually packed the day before we left. Like everything in our room stayed the same because we didn't think this was going to happen.
Wow.
So I guess it was really hard because for the most part, that's the life you grow up in. These are the people you know, this is the neighborhood you know, this is the culture you know. And then again, you've heard a lot about your own country and all these things that happen in your country. And, you know, the news has a tendency of magnifying the worst, you know? So, yes, so you'd see on the news, oh my God, this is happening in Uganda. And I'd say, Dad, that's what you want to take us back to? So I think it was also fear tangled in there. And yeah, so it was more of fine, let's just do what he says and maybe we'll just come back after a while. But all these years, I can definitely say it was the best decision, because I think a lot of third culture kids will agree that eventually you want to know your culture. Eventually you want to find that thing that identifies your parents, because as you grow older, you get to understand your parents and then you want to understand where they came from. So after all these years, yeah, I can see why this was a major thing in my life, but also I don't regret it at all. So yeah, I think that would sum up a bit about my emotions at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So it sounds like there was a fair bit of denial there in terms of the move and not believing your dad that you were actually going to move and leaving your packing till, oh, so last minute.
Yes.
And when you arrived, thinking that you were going to go back. So how long would you say it kind of felt for you? What did it take for you to feel settled in Uganda?
To be honest, I thought I was settled. I thought I was settled maybe six years into being here. That's what I thought. But then it's been about 15 years now, and I only feel even more settled, even more patriotic, if I should say. You know, I keep telling my friends that there was this kind of realization about 4 years ago where I said, you know what, there's actually a level of patriotism that I never had before. You know, because before I used to identify more with Swaziland. I kept saying, even after I tell my friends, a lot of my dreams are about Swaziland. Even if it's about people here, a lot of the places are Swaziland, you know? So there was that throughout the years, I guess it's like denial. So I would think me feeling at home, me identifying more with Uganda is about 4 years ago, where I felt, yeah, this is my country. I've identified with my culture. I love the fact that I have, and yeah, so many other aspects. So I would think it took a very long time for me. And I didn't even know that until you asked the question.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. You spent a good chunk of time of your formative years in Swaziland, and from the sounds of it, felt close to that country, and it's taken some time to get that patriotic feeling towards Uganda. So where's the place in you now for Swaziland?
Strangely, and I don't know if anyone feels like this, it's at the exact same place. I mean, as Uganda, not as back then, because even now I am still in touch very much with family there. And sorry, Jen.
Sorry, I lost you for a moment there. Can you just run back for me?
Okay, I was saying that we lost a brother, so he's buried there. So a lot of it feels home in many aspects, and not just him being buried there, but having a lot of family there, not just family, blood family, but a lot of friends that happen to be family that we're all in touch with up to now. Mm-hmm. We speak very often. So Swaziland is still, even when we hear about all this chaotic things going on in Swaziland, we call and say, is everybody okay? What's going on? So we still have bond. We still have that, you know, the family still talks a lot about it. So I would think it's still pretty strong. It's or even growing stronger, because now you understand who you are because you know where you came from and what crafted you into who you are now.
And I'm sorry to hear about your brother.
Yeah.
So going back to Uganda then at that time, did you think you would go back to Swaziland? Because often when we move on to the next place as TCKs, I mean, like when I was growing up, it was sort of like on to the next. And yeah. I never really considered living where I'd already been. It was always kind of looking forwards. That felt like going backwards. But how was that for you?
Actually, again, I'm glad the questions keep invoking a lot of my thoughts, because now that I think about it, for the longest time, I thought I'm going to go to Swaziland. But I've planned trips to other countries. I could have planned a trip to Swaziland. So now that you ask, I think it is so true what you're saying, that we tend to want to do on to the next as opposed to, but so yeah, for the longest time I've been saying I'm going to Swaziland, but yeah. I think I will definitely. That is not a question. I am going to go to Swaziland because there's just a lot that I want to experience again. And I think there's a moment in life where everybody feels like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So back to visit then, rather than to go back and live there again.
Yes, back to visit, definitely not live there.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask, where feels like home?
People and understanding their culture. I think that's what feels like home. Mm-hmm. And I notice it with, right from the time we grew up, we kept hosting people in the family dinners or lunches. And these are people from so many places from around the world. And, you know, you'd ask so many questions and they'd tell you so many things about where they were from. And it was fun. And I can see that even in my adulthood. I have people over at my house a lot. And I like to meet people and I like to talk to them and I like to ask questions. And I like to find out about their culture. Yeah, so I think that feels like home. And I think it's because that's what I grew up feeling like. You know, home was having so many different people from different places. And I think to expand on that, not only were you different because you were not from the country, but also I was from a religion that they didn't really know about. I'm a Baha'i. Mm-hmm. So it was, not only are you from Uganda, you're Baha'i, and then you have a strange name, Galindo, and then you'd have to explain, oh, my dad named me after this Mexican family. And then they go, so why do you have a Mexican family if you're from Uganda, but you were in Swaziland? And then it's, oh my God, so many questions. Yeah. And live with those questions even up to now. You meet people, and if it's not your name they're gonna question, it's about your accent, it's about where you're from. You know, I'm sure you know a lot about that experience.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that is home. That is home. Feeling like people are there and understanding that. But of course, for the most part, I also like to be alone in my own space. You know, that feeling of just quiet after you take in everybody's, you know, yeah.
So feeling at home with people around you, but also within yourself.
Yeah, yeah, that would best explain it.
So in terms then of people that you would, say, hang out with, TCK often have a natural gravitation to those with an international flavor. It's often talked about the struggles of communicating with people that don't have that international flavor, who just don't get it. How is it for you?
Very true. I noticed it later in life, of course. And a lot of us in the group kept saying, do you realize that all of us are a mixture of different? We had, even just growing up in Swaziland, we had a combination of people from different countries in my friend group. And if not mixed in a certain way, or just not from Swaziland. Mm-hmm. And so in as much as we mix with other people, the core group was built up of people of different, you know. So yes, I do have that. And even now it's with personality. The people you mingle with now are people who have a vast experience in life, in terms of the world, in terms of worldly experiences, let me say, or those aspects. So yes, I can still see that mixing, and yeah, it still carries on.
Sure. So there's a obvious correlation there between your mixed upbringing towards the people that you hang out with. What about other areas in your life, say your career?
I knew where you were going with that the moment you asked, and I had an answer almost immediately, because that is very true. My work, I'm a lawyer by profession, and the work that I'm doing and that I've been gravitating towards is humanitarian work. And this is refugee and migration law. And I kid you not, I realized this in the middle of one of the projects. I was sitting with a group of refugees, and they were, you know, narrating a few of their experiences. And I was like, wait, they're actually third culture kids. You know, these are the same experiences. And then I realized that this work is so fascinating for me, because I know these experiences, mm-hmm. because I want to help them with these experiences. So yeah, I see that. It is so true that it does factor a lot into my formal work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when did you discover that you're a TCK, that being a TCK is a thing?
11 years ago, actually. It was first year law school, and I think we were doing some sport or something after classes, and this other student who was in a higher class, he said, you know, the questions start, your name, oh, where are you from, you know, yeah. And then he said, oh, you're a third culture kid, and I said, what's that? And then he said, oh, you don't know what a third culture kid is, and I said, no, I don't think I know what that is. And then he said, yeah, it's basically you. And he didn't really narrate what it was. And so I said, okay. And later on, I read about it online. Oh, so that's what third culture kids are. And then, of course, you know what happens when you find out you're a third culture kid. All the realization, the sense in everything. So it was like, oh, so that's what it is. Oh my God, that's what it is. You know, it was like a buildup of emotions. Mm. And then that's what it is. It was like, okay, so I know about this, and that was it. So I knew about it. And then last year, I didn't know how big it was, because I thought, okay, so it is a term, but I don't really know how big the community is, mm-hmm. or what people discuss, or if everybody really knows about this, because every time I mentioned it, not so many people did know about this. So then last year is when I came across your podcast. No, actually not the podcast. It was the Facebook page. It was the Facebook page. Yes.
Right.
And then I realized, oh my God, all these questions and all these answers and all these exact experiences. And I said, oh my God, so you're really not alone out there. And then it answers a lot of things. When you feel like you're not alone, there's so many questions that are answered. And so, yeah, I guess I got deeper into it after this. So I really do thank you, Jen, for starting this entire community and, yeah, having these kinds of conversations.
My pleasure. And it's, you know, feedback like that, comments like that is just partly why I do what I do, you know, to help people have this community and to understand themselves better and to know that we're not alone, because so many times, you know, we grow up with this stuff and then you discover that being a TCK is a thing. And then as you what you've described to me is like it sounds like a coming home within yourself to know that, that's why I do that. That makes sense. And knowing that, actually, you're not this weirdo, that you're not alone out there.
True, true. Yeah.
So have you read the TCK book, the Bible, as it's affectionately known?
No, I actually haven't. There is a Bible. Okay, this is new.
Ah, okay. So I can show you, because have it on my bookshelf behind me. But for those who are listening, the book is Third Culture Kids Growing Up Among Worlds by Ruth Van Reeken, David Pollock, and Michael Pollock, who I mentioned just before we started recording. And there's often a sort of there's a sequence of events in terms of realizing that, hey, I'm a TCK. And then somebody points you in the direction of this book and you read the book and it's like all these kind of light bulb moments of, ah, yes, much as you described in terms of finding the community and my Facebook page.
I feel like that's a beautiful, I am so giving that to myself as a gift this year. I'm going to get it. That sounds like a nice book.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of, I'll give a quick plug here, earlier podcast episodes of mine with the authors of the book, one with Michael and one with Ruth. So yeah, absolutely. Nice. Have a listen to those.
Okay, I will.
Your TCK upbringing, it's had an influence, you know, I can tell on, you know, relationships in your life, people you hang out with, your career as well.
Yeah.
How do you see the future panning out? In, you know, we're used to having lived in different places. So
yeah.
Do you think that Uganda's it and you'd like to travel from there? Or would you consider living somewhere else again?
I definitely would consider living somewhere else again. I wouldn't mind having this as a base, you know, to come back home to, you know, and all that, but I do want to move somewhere for a while. That would be nice. I think thoughts about that have always come through.
And when you think ahead to somewhere that you might like to live, what are the things that you think about when trying to decide on a location, given that there's so many choices?
Yeah. I definitely want a place that's buzzing with culture. That's definitely one of the things. And also a place that's not too loud. I do love the buzz, people and all that. But also, as you said before, you know, you want to go back and just quiet down and all that. But I feel also that there's not too much of a criteria, like a really strong, unless this is like, and this would be true for any normal person, you know, certain things. But I feel like, I don't think there's too much of a criteria for me. And the reason is, and I feel this is true for a lot of third culture kids, is that we can adopt to a lot of things. But also, that's also true for humans generally, but we can adopt to different cultures and whatever it is. So it doesn't matter where I go as long as I'm happy there. And as long as I can blend with these people, as long as I can blend with, you know, a lot of the things going on. I think that's what it is, more than which country is it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say there, because yes, just by the nature of having had to move when we were younger, it helps us in that, yes, we are able to adapt more quickly than had we not had that experience. And that you can use in all sorts of situations, like going into a new job or a new career and being able to pick up things quickly and find your way to fit in.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm going to ask you about languages. So having lived in different places and obviously you're working as
I am.
How are you on the language front?
Absolutely the worst. The worst. Even my parents. At first I thought this is probably because, you know, my parents were so bad at it. And then I saw my sister's kids, and I thought, but they're not getting it. And I kept explaining when people would ask, why don't your sister's kids speak certain? And I'd say, oh, it's because their mom is this and their dad is this. And then I realized, but you do realize you too were around too many people speaking different languages. I mean, you're at home and your mom and dad are speaking to you in your native language. And then you go out there and, you know, there's a general native cultural language of the country. And then there's also the language of the people you know, mm-hmm. you know? So I've never, yes, I can pick up because I am really good with people. And so that also helps in the language sense in that, you know, language also is about how people portray their emotions and how they are, their body, you know, their body language and how they express themselves. So a lot of times I can know what a person is trying to say, or I can know more of a language than be able to speak it. So even here, there's one language everybody knows, and they're saying, so why don't you speak Luganda? And I say, but I know I can understand what you're saying. I can't speak back to you though, but I understand the most of it, you know. But so that's the most of languages for me. It's I get the extent of it. I can understand it, but fully speaking it, no. It's a thing for me.
Well, language, as I say, you know, we're talking about communication really, and communication is so much more than just the actual words. You know, I can say from my own experiences now of having recently moved to Italy and not speaking a word of Italian other than sort of ciao when I first arrived, but there have been some instances, one I can think of in the post office, where I didn't need to know the words to understand what was being said to me. you can pick up a lot. And I think that because we've had the mixed upbringing, we can be more attuned to those extra nuances within communication other than the actual words being spoken.
Very true. It's almost necessary for you to feel like that, because you reach a point where you say, you know, I'm not even going to try and understand the language because I'm faced with so many. I might as well try to understand a certain aspect of this culture, this, you know. So it's almost necessary because you want to communicate with these people, or you need to communicate with these people. Yeah, like a mechanism of sorts.
Yeah, it's about setting that intention to try and understand, rather than just saying, well, I don't know this language, I don't know those words, therefore I'm putting up an invisible wall and I refuse to engage, which...
Yes. Although I must admit that there's a certain point in my life where I just didn't engage. And I think that was the rebellious stage when I just moved here. It was, I'm not going to learn this language. I'm not just going to bother, and I don't want to know. And it was just, I guess, that kind of rebellious, you know, I'm going to leave here anyway and go back to my home. So yes, there was that stage, but now it's a more openness mm-hmm. to it.
An extra element to that denial that you had going on there.
Yes, exactly.
So you mentioned your sister and her kids. How do you think she has experienced the TCK upbringing compared to you? It's a question I ask because often within families, perhaps because of the different ages, even though we might have been to the same places, what we experience can be vastly different. So I'm wondering how that was for you and your sister.
Vastly different. My sister is 12 years older than me. She's the firstborn. Mm-hmm. So this is two different generation experiences. Mm-hmm. And so while I had the younger rebellious version of, I can't leave my friends, this is my life, big sister help me out here, we're not gonna pack. She was just, you know, this is absurd. I am an adult, I can stand my ground. And I'm pretty sure there's other explanations in her mind because we've never really actually discussed this, but I feel there's there's just different, I think there's, and this is from conversations we've had later in life, I guess, you can see that we've had vast differences in experiences. I don't mean in that one experience, it's two whole different worlds, no, but like in all those experiences, in those vast experiences, each one has been, oh, so that's how you felt. Mm-hmm. Interesting, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So, oh, that's how you were doing things. Interesting, you know? And of course, they also having come from, having had a bit of their formative years here, they experienced it differently. So they knew this culture, and then they were taken to a different culture, and they were brought back to this culture. So that's a whole other experience for them. I mostly knew that culture. I didn't even know this one at all. I mean, you're taking a three, so it's all I know. So yeah, there's definitely differences in it. You can see roots in both for them, and you can see a lot more for the younger siblings in Swaziland.
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. Galindo, I'm looking at the time, and as usual, the time flies on these podcast chats. So I would like to take the opportunity to thank you so much for your time today. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you too, Jen. This has been amazing. Thank you.
Glad you've enjoyed it. Thank you. Thanks for listening to People Like Us. If you'd like to join an online community full of people like us, hop over to Facebook and search for People Like Us. You'll find my group, and you're very welcome to join us.